Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
We'll recite the Ten Commandments on page 264. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he had become a convinced Christian in the 1830s. He had graduated from German universities, and one university had been to several, and was not certain about who Christ was, but then eventually recognized his own sinfulness and was converted to a strong belief in the free forgiveness of sins in Christ. And he wanted to be a missionary, so he managed passage with a friendly ship's captain, and he was brought to Baltimore in 1838, the same time those Saxons had come up here, up the river, and unloaded just under the arch in St. Louis. The arch wasn't there yet. And, boy, you're tight today, aren't you? Yes, the arch wasn't there yet. And he got off the boat, and there were thousands of Germans coming every week as immigrants into Baltimore. And he asked, where's the Lutheran church? And they said, what? The Lutheran church? What, like the German church? It's over there. And I've been there. I've been to the place where this disembarkation took place, and also been to this church. So they sent him down the road to the German church, and the pastor asked him, would you like to preach for us and then have a prayer service with us and read the scriptures, say some prayers with us, give us a message? And he said yes, and he got through the sermon, and then there was a prayer service, and he began praying, and all of a sudden he hears this moaning, oh, 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 and this greater crescendo of shouting and amens. And it was at that point that he realized something wasn't what he was used to. And after the service ended, the pastor came over and said, well, what did you think? And he says, I don't know if it was from God or from the devil, but it surely was not Lutheran. Well, Friedrich Winneken, founder of the Missouri Synod, had wound up in a second awakening Methodist Charismatic Church, the Otterbein Church. I've been in it. You can still go there today. It's right on the right near the Baltimore Harbor. Today is the day of Winneken, and he was an extraordinary person, quite in some ways beyond belief. And for today's text, which this isn't a textual sermon, but I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. He was among a number of people who had been through kind of liberalism at university and 175 years ago, 180 years ago. And there at German universities, many of them once staunch advocates of Lutheranism, they had long since fallen to the Enlightenment. And within that context, there was kind of a revival of pietism, this idea that the Bible really might be true, and that religion was a personal experience. It was something one really experienced with God. Pietism struggled, though, all the time, because it, whenever you had questions or doubts, or you wondered if you were converted, where would you look? Right square at your own belly button to measure your own spiritual temperature. And if you know anything about, if you have any experience in Christianity, that either makes you despair or become a horrible liar, because you know the truth while you're acting all pious. Walther had the same experience. Wilhelm Zeiler had the same experience. All the founders, and most all the founders of the Missouri Synod had this experience. This Winneken came and he started singing hymns when he got to the end of the railroad in Pennsylvania, and he rode by horseback across the countryside, and there were just loads of Germans who had lived out here for a number of years, and they just didn't go to church. There was no church. There were itinerant preachers coming along, most of them not Lutheran or preaching crazy ideas. Their kids weren't baptized, and so Winneken baptized his way across Ohio and Indiana. He ends up in Adams County, Indiana. The pastor just died at St. Paul's there, Jesse Hoover, who was not really Lutheran at St. Paul's Fort Wayne. They don't like to talk about this, but he was a student of Simon Samuel Schmucker, this mix of Reform Lutheranism. And the state of Lutheranism was at the time very deplorable. Guys like Schmucker, who taught at the seminary in Gettysburg, did not believe that baptism forgives sins, did not believe that a pastor could absolve you of your sins, did not believe that the Lord's Supper was the body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And in fact, just for making the sign of the cross, Winneken was later called a papist. Such was the intense animosity of what went for Lutheranism at the time. And it was sad. Winneken later wrote a piece for, when he was president of the Synod after Walther, Justification, the beginning, middle, and end of everything. He came to be convinced that Lutheranism got it right. He started by reading the Bible, and then he went to the Lutheran confessions. First of all, to the Augsburg Confession, which proclaims the pure gospel of forgiveness of sins only in Christ and its delivery through the Word and the sacraments. And it made him a zealous missionary. One time in Fort Wayne, this guy comes up to him. He's on the street. And this guy comes up to him and says, "Pastor Winneken, I've heard you preach. I don't believe a bit of it." And Winneken said to him, "That's all right. When the devil's got you by the throat dragging you to hell, you just shout out, 'I don't believe it, I don't believe it.'" In a short time, the guy was totally undone, repented, became a lifelong member of St. Paul's. He would buttonhole people when he talked to them. He was always very nice to people, but very blunt. He'd buttonhole people. Guy came in for confession before the sacrament, and Winneken said, "You're a drunk. I'm not going to commune you." And the guy says, "Who told you I was a drunk?" And Winneken grabbed him and said, "Come over to the mirror here. See those shaking hands, that puffy face, the red eyes? That man in the mirror tells me you're a drunk. Again, the man repented. Where are such preachers of law and gospel today among us? The stories of him traveling around and planting congregations that still exist today in Ohio, Michigan, and Northeast Indiana is really quite extraordinary. After he'd been in Fort Wayne for a time, he went back to Germany and he met with Wilhelm Löhe and the great missionary who never left Landesau, this little Bavarian village, and he was ginned up in his Lutheranism. He was strengthened. He came back and he realized that he couldn't be a Lutheran Reformed pastor anymore. And so he set about helping St. Paul in Fort Wayne to come to a proper Lutheran constitution. And that happened to a lot of congregations which came to form the Missouri Synod. He was very interested too, as our text says, "Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among all peoples." The Missouri Synod did not have enough manpower to do work in English, or much work in English. It is often lambasted for that, completely ignorantly. The numbers of German immigrants was so steep that they had so much work. They met them at the boats when they were coming in, and there was so much work to do, they could hardly spare a moment. But Winneken said, what happened to this Lutheran church in this country? When the first generation came over, we didn't translate and put into English the Lutherans, proper Lutheran literature. And so all these Lutherans who came from the motherland ended up in other denominations or sects or not knowing the gospel or falling away completely. He said, would that we could do mission work in English. And he supported it right from the beginning, as did C.F.W. Walther. And they spoke English. He emphasized the spiritual priesthood and its proper role with the pastorate. He said, the pastors are to preach to lay people to let them know their full freedom in Christ, that they might rejoice in their vocation, serve Christ, speak his name where they've been placed, and serve in the church and its mission. And he knew indeed that the Lord does all kinds of wonderful things through weak and fallible people. I wish to read to you just a portion of a letter he wrote to Walther. They had got in, at the end of Winneken's service as president of the Synod in 1863, he and Walther had gotten into some kind of a tiff. And Walther thought Winneken wasn't as happy as he had been about being strongly doctrinal. And funny, Winneken said, I just think we should be a little more kind to some of the ones we call our opponents, that we might win them, the other Lutherans. But anyway, he writes, "From the time I was a young man, as far back as I can remember into my earliest childhood, I have suffered horribly from melancholy, depression, and hypochondria. Now in my old age, these physical weaknesses again reveal things I already suffered as a child, asthma. And so it's also with physical nature, or how shall I describe it? Thus hypochondria overcomes me in spite of the fact that I continuously fight against it. Its arms suffocate me ever more powerfully so that I am happiest where I had nothing to do with anyone." I can relate to that as a Synod president. "I have to force myself to mingle with people. I'm happiest to sit alone in my chair and am consumed by my own dummheit, my stupidity. Then it can happen that I become very unbearable. My dear brothers must have patience with me, but at the same time, they have to correct me quite openly and forcefully. That helps most, at least for the moment." So, isn't this amazing? The guy who's probably the greatest missionary in the history of the Missouri Synod struggles for his whole life with depression. The church is not about a gloriously empowered, victorious people conquering one hill after another. It's about a crucified Christ working his cruciform message through weak people like you and me, who are people who are broken and hurting and challenged. I think the last year I have heard of more people around me, more people at work, more people in my family have died or been ill or suffering a tragedy or other instances that more than I've ever seen before. And I know many of you have had those same experiences. But notice what he goes on to say. You say, I may no longer be pleased by the doctrinal rigorousness advocated by you. I'm not aware that in this regard a change has taken place in me. On the contrary, the longer and the more I have suffered under my heavy spiritual anfechtungen, that's Lutheran technical language, Luther's word, it means attack, spiritual attack, trials and struggles. I have experienced in a practical way the necessity and importance of pure doctrine. Since every doctrine is connected with justification and undergirds it, indeed proceeds from it as from the center of the faith and leads back to it, I have found in this doctrine my only stay in the midst of my difficulties. Thus, every doctrine becomes all the more significant for me for the sake of the consolation I seek. That's magnificent. The truth of the scriptures, the truth of the small catechism, the truth of receiving Christ's gifts, the truth that the gifts come to poor sinners like you and me, is the truth we see in the life of Winnikin, and it remains just as true now, 175 odd years later, God granted. And so, today we shout for Winnikin, give thanks to the Lord, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Iowa District West and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Ashley Lair, who serves the Lord in Puerto Rico. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.